something I've asked you before about city planning infrastructure. It relates really well to the podcast, which is why I didn't really bother you too much on stream yesterday. So I was like, I could probably just refocus these into like podcast topics, which is urban planning, city planning, how cities grow, how cities were developed. Just sort of like that. I feel like an episode where we dive into like making, it doesn't even have to be like making realistic cities, but you know what I mean? Like something like that, because that seems to be the biggest question both that I have and that I see everywhere. Reddit, YouTube comments, in Twitch chats, is people asking like, how do I make a realistic city? How do I make a realistic road layout? You know, like road layout. Infrastructure is the biggest one.
How do I make a realistic city? This is the Urban Theories Podcast, recorded Sunday, July 24th, 2022. Experience rain. On this episode of Urban Theories, we dive into realistic city layouts, Rust Belt cities, and the missing middle, and Moose and I find out we can't read or follow directions.
It's crazy out there in Toronto as well too. It's getting wild.
Several straight days of being almost at 100 and over 100 for like the feels like temperature.
I hate that.
And then I think tomorrow is the last day, and then it starts to go down from there.
That is okay, yeah. Well, it's okay, yeah. So at least you guys get a break, because it's been like, yeah, you all have been getting just like hit constantly down there. Even we hear about it in Ontario, right? The Eastern States, Ontario, Quebec, all of it, and it's just getting crazy. And Ontario had another. Oh yeah.
Not as bad as Europe, though. I mean, at least we have AC.
No, yeah.
So I definitely feel for you guys out over really anywhere. Anywhere that it's hot and you don't have a way of getting out of it, like, yeah, take care of yourselves for real.
Yeah, the fires now, and yeah, it's getting crazy.
Yeah.
So we've been just chilling. It's just been like mid 20s, so 60 to 70 Fahrenheit, like 69 to 70 Fahrenheit is the average that we've been having for the last week. So okay. that's not bad at all.
Like, yeah,
that's completely like, tame to what we had last year.
All right, relax. No one asks you to brag, okay? Like, it's...
You know, super chill. Just come down here.
Yeah, like, we'll just all just move there,
hey,
and it's just fine.
I got a couch, you know?
You always say that. You say that, and then one day, someone's going to be like, Moose, hey, can I come stay with you? And you're going to be like,
Well, you know, we will cross that bridge when we come to it, but I'm just saying, listen, I got a couch, and not only that, that couch turns into a bed, and... You know the best part about it? That bed then turns into a bed with a memory foam mattress. How about that? Hey, hey, hey.
The bed turns into a bed.
Mm-hmm. So, Jonah?
Yes, Moose.
Shall we dive into things?
Dive into it. Give it to me, baby.
I had some questions for you. Yesterday, everything was great. Life was just fantastic. I'm sitting there, you know, messing around with Skyline, sort of figuring out, you know, figuring out things after a nice little like reset, reevaluate where I'm at, you know, with the project, figuring out what I want to do with things. And
67 degrees, windows open. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Things are, it's vibey. It's great. And then I get this notification. Probably about 9 a.m. maybe like 10 a.m. my time. I get this notification and it says the Jonah's live. And I'm like, ah, perfect. Let me go turn on the stream. And I'm going to start, you know, I got to be there with my sword. I got to start swinging, you know. And so I get there and I'm playing cities, you know, watching the chat, you know, making sure people behave on Jonah's behalf. Something happened that happens I want to say every single time you stream City Skylines, because it's every single time you stream City Skylines,
okay.
Something happened. And
oh boy.
What happened was, I'm sitting there enjoying the stream. Twitch.tv/TheJonah. And I see, you know, I start paying less attention to City Skylines and more to what Jonah's building. And once again, I start looking at Jonah's screen, then I look at my screen, you know, monitor two, monitor one, monitor two, monitor one. And suddenly I realize that I hate everything in that building and I want to start a new city that looks more like Jonah's because Jonah's more realistic. And
why do you do that? Why?
And the cycle repeats.
Why?
Every stream.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with building in different ways, but yes, if you don't like the way that you're building, then yeah.
No, I have a blast building when I'm building, but I constantly strive to achieve that true level of realism that I see on your stream. But it made me think of something. So I was like, huh, you know what? Let's start off this next podcast. And with a question that I know many people, probably some people listening, have, because I see it all over Reddit, I see it all over YouTube, Twitch, Twitch chat, is how do I build more realistic cities, or how do I start? The starting is the biggest one that I see asked. It's like, I don't know how to start a city. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to start to make it realistic. And it's something I struggle with all the time. I struggle with all the time. I don't know where, how, any of that to start a city. And so, yeah, I think I've seen all three cities that you've done, and I've seen them from start to finish to completion. Your thoughts, what goes through the mind of Jonah? And I guess what tips do you have for the people in the comments that are constantly asking, how do I start a city? Like, I don't know what to do. Like, once a city gets going, it's all, you know, it's fine. But the beginning and that's the start of the city is the part that I see both myself having the most questions on, and then, of course, around the Skylines community, seeing the most questions related to how do I start a city? What am I doing? How do I do this? So, yeah, I wanted to get dive into your perspective, because I do know, yeah, just a lot of people watch. Obviously, they watch the stream for you, but I see it all the time in your stream of how people just constantly praise you, your road layout. Yeah, because I think it kicks booty, as they say. So,
dude, I don't know.
It's a loaded question, right? Like, I know it, but
a little bit, yeah, because it's one of those things where it's like, well, what is realism to you? I guess is the first question to ask, because we are building in a game that has limits, and we may observe different aspects of reality.
Yeah.
And those aspects of reality will speak to certain people. And also, there are certain aspects of reality that translate better on stream than if it were, say, you know, in a video or just in some other sort of like medium.
Yeah.
The only, like, I think one of the big things that translates on stream is road layout, because I do get people commenting about their road layout somewhat frequently.
Yep.
And so my road layouts are always fictitious, but they have some basis in life.
Oh, for sure they do. Yeah.
And the things that I have noticed in watching or observing Google Maps for, you know, years, actually just maps in general, you know, from Rand McNally to AAA's trip pick, when you used to have to figure out how to do your road trips by going to AAA and saying, well, I'm going from here to here, and then they would print out a map for you.
A little bit before my time, but yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd get the map printed out, and it would be mailed to you, and you'd go through when you check to see where all the places are along the way, and yep, have gas stations and hotels and stuff. And it wasn't like a... It was like one of those, like, I don't know what you call them. I guess they were a ream binder, but they're like a narrow one. And okay, so yeah, it was rectangular. So that way, it was focusing along the route that you were driving, and it would show it would just show the road, what it looked like, and all the different exits, numbers, and different things that were on each exit at the time of the map being printed. Right. And that's how you were able to drive, or at least that's how we were able to drive long distances back then, because and they weren't always right. Sometimes they would have roads. They would print out roads that were supposed to be finished but weren't. Because the interstate system wasn't 100% then. And so there were like breaks in the interstate. So most of the interstate was there. But that 1 5-mile stretch where the bridges that they were supposed to build, they didn't build it yet. You just had to get off. It just said exit highway, and you exit, and you're like, well, now what? Because they didn't really have that much off the interstate that they showed on that little map. So that's where getting like, you know, a map of like the state or the region that you were in sometimes, or the city, so that way you can go through there. And I spent a lot of time looking at those maps. You know, I wasn't driving. And then even when I did start to drive, I would pay even more attention to the maps. And then you graduate to Google Maps, and you just have every single roadmap and layout and city available at your fingertips throughout the entire world. And you just start to notice things. I start to notice patterns about the way that layouts were laid out. And if you go and you look at when a city was started, you know, the square layout was mostly done in like the 1800s, rectangle in the 1900s, and then early 1900s, and then you start getting into curves and flowy stuff in the mid 1900s and onwards from there. For the most part, obviously there's some exceptions to that, right? But that's like a general things. And
yeah, exactly.
My road layouts are really a need for me to try and fill the map as much as possible. You know, if I don't, then the city looks too small. And arguably, I probably am doing the wrong scale road layout. Like, it probably is a little bit too big. The right scale probably is 8x8, but I do 12x12. So 12 squares inside of a block.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you gotcha.
So,
do 12x12, eh? Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I do 12x12 because it allows me to fit larger buildings inside of that square if it's in the downtown area when it starts to get bigger, the city starts to get bigger. For residential areas, it sort of provides the area that would normally be for a backyard or to allow a further setback for the houses, which... something that I've always complained about is I wish that we had the ability to easily have more. I know that there's some there. Some of them are plop. Some of them are growables. But I wish that I had more options for houses that were set further back that were growable. That actually had a backyard that filled that area in the back that, you know, the four square area that's going to be in the middle because, you know, zones are only four squares deep. So then if you got four and four on each side, that's four in between. Two squares for each side. Slide the house back a little bit. Two squares in the back are for your backyard. The two squares in the front are for your front yard. And the four squares in the middle are the house. At least that's how I see it anyway. I wish that we had that, but we don't.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, especially for the suburban ones I've always had struggles with.
I know. It's so scruggly, but we make do. And those are the limits that we're working in, right? And so getting back to the question, like, there are limits that we have that we just have to kind of work within. And if you're trying to do a more realistic city, you have to start off with the foundation of the city, and the foundation of this city is going to be the road layout. If you are just diving in and starting to build, you know, these if you put in like a downtown area and then you add buildings immediately, I really do feel like that you are kind of providing a disservice to the city if that's what you're doing. I know people do it all the time. I know that people go in and, you know, they have a vision and they just sort of lay it out the way that the city is, as in the way that the city would be in 2022.
Yeah.
And at least for me personally, I can kind of tell. I can tell that it's been laid out that way because it's contrived in a way that doesn't really feel as organic as if it had been changed over time, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Because that's what I see in yours, the way that you do it. And you, it's also something you mentioned as well, too, like yesterday's stream, for example, where somebody had purchased a home, and so you got them set up, got them set with a home in your city, and you start bringing up topics of, like, how you don't imagine that that's what this neighborhood's going to look like, you know, in a little bit, in game time, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like those points too that I think is just really, I just think that's really cool and an interesting way to look at it. It's like, yeah, you may make that area that way, but it doesn't necessarily going to stay that way. Whereas, like, I would look at a neighborhood like that, like the one that you were referencing on stream yesterday, and maybe I've detailed it up, maybe I haven't, but it's likely going to stay that way.
And there's many ways of doing it, right? And like I was saying before, you know, people can envision an area, build it in that way, and then it looks realistic, and that's fine. But if you're going to ask me how do I build my cities in a realistic way, I say that I personally can't conceive that. So I have to build the city in the way where it progresses over time. And it's not 100% because I don't start from, like, you know, literally actually 1875 and the buildings look like they're all from 1875. There's a little bit of time skipping and jumping because of time. You know, I just don't have the time to fully vet out a city from completely start to finish. But I do build the road networks in that way. And I sort of think, okay, let's start with a downtown area. Let's figure out, like, where the downtown area for me is the original settlement. And the original settlement of a city is, when you're talking about that far back, usually going to be along a body of water, whether it be a bay, an ocean, or a river. Because those were the modes of transportation that were most important to the people at the time to be able to get goods back and forth from far distances, or even close distances, actually, in some cases, right, close that we would think of right now. So the map has to have some type of water on it. And of course, we're generalizing here.
Yeah.
Then along that body of water is the road network would follow that, you know, that body of water for a certain amount of blocks away from the water. So if we're starting with the river, right, maybe I'll go, I don't know, we'll go maybe 6 or 7 blocks away from the river, where the main road would most likely have been either along the river or one block away. And then from there, you know, we draw the grid off of that. Once I do that and I establish where the original settlement would have been, then I think of, at that point, okay, now how would have people have traveled to the settlement on by land? And I draw the main roads leading to that quote-unquote original settlement based off of how people would have either walked or used a horse. So you're not necessarily seeing, you know, completely flattened out roads that are going through mountains and stuff and crisscrossing hills and huge, sometimes not even going across the water that you put the city on, because that's just how that they would have been. And then over time, so the main roads then designate the main ways of getting in out of the city. Then I tried to build the next parts of the city based off of those main roads, because those main roads would be where people would have built along coming out of the city, because it would have been easier to get into the city that way. There is also the streetcar theory where it's like,
yeah,
you know, putting roads laid out where there theoretically would have been a streetcar on, or the you do or don't put a streetcar on it, but you'd lay it out in that way. And then it just sort of goes from there organically, I guess. That's kind of like how I, that's usually like my thought process when I'm doing the road layout like that. And then I always do that because I can't think of a single city, modern city today, you know, there might be an exception out there, but most cities started before there was a highway. So you'll never see me build a city or start a map that has a highway on it. There's no highways on it. Now, you know, if you're talking about something like that, now if you're talking about like a satellite city of a larger city, I have done that, not on stream, but I have done that in the past sometimes, where what I'm doing is I'm saying, well, maybe this town was established in 1950 or 60 something, right? Like, maybe there was something here, but it wasn't huge. It was like a few houses. And then in the 50s or 60s, they came in and they established, or maybe even the 20s, they came in and they established something. And so then I'll do that, and then I may put in like one highway that goes either near it or right, or not, never really through it because it's never big enough, but it usually goes around it or near it.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, I'm like, well, this is a town that was a satellite of a larger city that they then put in a highway eventually around this city to go past it. But this is, so this city's development stagnated. And then I go, well, what happens if this city actually grew and then it grows, you know, along the highway? And there are some examples of that where there are newer towns and cities that may have existed before the highway, but didn't really grow until after the highway went past it. Because, and not because the highway went past it, because we know about the stories of towns going bankrupt and stuff because the highway went around it and people, yeah. It's more of like the highway went around it, but the city was close enough to a larger city that the people, you know, development expanded out from the main city and it eventually made it to that smaller city, which grew, or it went, it caught up to it and encircled it. So I guess when people talk about realistic layouts and stuff in cities with my stuff, they're probably thinking of what Teddy had mentioned the other day about old growth and starting out with old growth, then putting in highways, and then transitioning to new growth. Well, I could have probably just said that instead of rambling for like 30 minutes.
No. But hearing your but that's what I wanted to hear is like your in depth, like yeah, what's going on in Jonah's mind? Because all I see is I just see you drawing out the lines and yeah, you mention things on stream for sure, but really like what's going on in your mind? You know what I mean? When you're laying those down, like why does that road point that way? Why are you drawing this road out? You know. Because at the end, I know what the end result looks like. Even where your current project, Portland.tv/TheJonah.
Okay.
Is that it's incredible. It's incredible. Like we're what? You've been on this one for a month? Maybe a month?
Has it been a month already? I hate it. Maybe 3 weeks.
Yeah, at least. Yeah, let's say, okay, yeah, let's say 3 weeks. And
time goes by fast.
Yeah, no, I just I was very interested in it because I just I know a lot of people had that question about and obviously for those listening, we're looking at so Jonah City is more North American based. I myself as well build usually North American cities, so that would be
and by that by more he means completely North American based.
100%. it's super interesting to me. I don't know, I find that stuff super interesting on how like what goes through people's minds when they're starting their city and to get it, because road layouts are one of the things I don't think I'll ever ever get to that spot. They're the thing that I struggle with the most, and then once it gets going then we're fine, but to get going.
You gotta commit to this. Oh, here's another thing. Commit to the story of your city. Mm. If you commit to the story of your city, it'll organically grow to be what it is.
Does that mean sticking with a city?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
It also means, like, again, don't jump, right? Don't immediately go from barren land to skyscrapers. Like, take your time. Put the little buildings down, make it a town. Actually, there you go. If you want your city to be realistic, start with a town, not with a city. Start with a little town of a few blocks, a power station, a water pump, like one police station, one fire station.
No, but that is something interesting that I saw too. You're not the only one to take that. I've seen plenty of approaches to cities, but I have seen a few people take that approach. I know $2 did it. Taka did it as well. And there's quite a few. I think Yumble does it that way as well too. But a lot of people will go through the. They might still start with like a downtown, but they'll first go through utilities, right? So they'll approach that way through utilities first. Mm-hmm. So where does the city get the power from? Where does the city get the water from? And then emergency services usually come like later once you kind of figure out where the best spot for a fire hall, police hall, that type of stuff would be. But yeah, I had noticed that you took that same approach. Like if we go back, 3 weeks to when you started Portland, one of the first things you started, obviously, laying out the roads, and you did that day of rail, but power was one of the things you started pretty early on as well too, was getting that power station in and get that set up and then drawing out the power lines from there, which I thought was really cool and just kind of interesting, because those are always just afterthoughts for me. It's like, if I need power, I'll just plop something down and forget about it. It's interesting to see that, like, because I do plan to, if I get to the point of showing where the power comes from, but it was an interesting approach the way that you take it, for sure.
And that, like, that's the whole point of why I guess, quote unquote, stick with the story of the city and also try and lay out the road network and get the city to a certain size before I start putting in highways or mass transit, if I ever do that. It's because that gives in the power lines, laying down power lines and now railroads. I was finally reminded, I was like, someone the other day, I think I said this at the podcast, but they were like, you should put in rail too. And I was like, you're right. And we're not going to use it, but it's just there because that is what was there. Even the largest cities or the most car centric cities now have still and used to have rail and had more of it. And then the needs changed over time. And so putting in the rail, putting in the power lines, whether you need them or not, because I don't need them because I have the mod that turns them off, putting in the road network and then threading in the highway network through part of it. Obviously, there's the way that highways are, you have both parts that needed to be in places where the city already existed, and then it existed before the city existed there. And I have both of those in mind, so because that changes the way that you develop around it, right? So
exactly.
And that's the reason why I put all that down first is so that way I have something to thread my networks, thread the major modern infrastructure through and around, whether that's a highway or a not that great bus system, where it's it's like, oh yeah, no, this bus system looks like it was just threaded in through here in this city. If you ever look at bus maps of cities that's their only mass transit, or that's their major mass transit, they may have some rail, but that's like most of it, and you look at the map and you're like, why does this bus route look like it was threaded through this? It's like, because it was, because the city existed before it did. It wasn't the other way around, where they laid out exactly where they, it wasn't like they laid out rail. There are places in New York, the New York City area, where they had the subway before anyone was there. There are old photos of lines that were being built, and there was nothing there. because they were like, if they were under the impression that if you build it, they will come. So let's just lay out.
Oh yeah, that yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That old mentality.
Right. So we used to do that with rail. Now we do that with freeways.
Yeah, exactly. Build it and they'll come. Yeah, yeah.
Build it and they'll come.
And yeah, because that's the way you gotta cater to the suburbanites, right? We gotta.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole goal. We gotta, you know, with these cities and you know.
And that's the thing, right? Like, I guess the same thing sort of applies to rail too. If you're more mass transit heavy, you know, think about the way that
build it, they will come.
Yeah, well, think about the way that they were. Yeah. Yeah, in this game, if you build mass transit, they will definitely come. They will come by the numbers. But you know, it's there's still the story there too. I'm not a expert on building mass transit in cities because I just don't do it. I'm aware and I've observed and I've used mass transit. I live in a place where I don't even have a car. Like IRL, like I am very aware of mass transit. I would do mass transit in city skylines, but as I've said before, it's not realistic. It sucks too much energy out of the car usage to the point where it actually looks like the city is dead. And like, there's way too many people walking around. And if there was some better balance of that, then I would be more willing to do it.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I just had too much fun. I don't know. I nerd out over transit in real cities, and then I try to do the same here. Like, what would a realistic metro look like in this city? And then I draw it out. It's a lot of fun. Then I see how many people are waiting in the station, and it makes me scream. But, you know, it's what it is.
There are 4,400 people waiting at this bus stop.
Like, at least, yeah. Like, if I did a city with just metro, well, so that's the thing. If you're going to do metro, you had to have buses. It doesn't make any sense. Like, every city's going to have buses, you know, big cities that would have transit. Even some of the small cities here, like the city that I grew up in, that's really small, you know. I mean, not crazy small. It's a 90,000 population. Still, small city. Has buses. Albeit they're horrible and infrequent, but buses, right?
Mexico City, and then I don't know the other city in South America, but BRT is a big thing for their newer plan. I mean, they do, especially Mexico City. From what I understand, Mexico City actually has a very good subway system.
I watched a video on it recently, actually.
Yeah, and I've known people that have gone there and are like, oh no, it's good.
Really cool, yeah.
But, you know, BRT is a thing. Like, BRT is a way that allows you to cheaper than rail. It gets it out there and it gets it working. And then later on, you can use the revenue of that to upgrade it if you need to something that's a little bit heavier, right?
Oh, yeah, but they wouldn't use the money on transit. You know, there's much better things. Highways.
Oh, yes. Highways.
No.
The drug trade.
Yeah, the idea is good, though.
Yeah. LA, I think LA at one point had a BRT system, and I don't know if there's... But also, wasn't LA's the one that was wonky and was a little bit more experimental than others? Like, they
I
had,
also
like...
see that.
They had, like, dedicated busways, I believe.
One day.
I don't know. I don't... That's just stuff that I've observed over time, obviously, with like watched or read about. So,
yeah, that's where most of my knowledge comes from on that stuff. It's all like just like nerding out over YouTube videos, watching Jonah's stream. You know, that's where my things come from.
Speaking of things that I don't really know much about.
Yes.
Why do you like the Rust Belt so much? Can you explain?
All right, we're going down. Okay, also fun fact too, let me go over here and just pull up Google Maps because I found something and it's almost made me also, if
guys,
you're listening to this podcast,
guys, he's pulling up Google Maps on the podcast. I just like to point that out.
If you're watching this before tomorrow's stream, there might be a new city. Anyways,
it wouldn't surprise me if you started PO-ing the podcast.
Let me go like this. Also, if there's a new city on my stream tomorrow, just blame Jonah. Anyways,
wow.
Come over here to Google Maps, and it all ties in, so it's all good. But and I don't know if New Jersey, like, I've done some research on the Rust Belt, and I would assume that the state of New Jersey doesn't fall in there. Like, maybe cities kind of are similar, but the actual Rust Belt, New Jersey is not in that. Neither is New York, but. Or like Washington, it's like farther up, you know. It's like mostly Pennsylvania and Ohio and Michigan cities, but although Buffalo does fall in it, so that's in New York, but that's upper New York. But to describe it, the city actually kind of sums up the things about the like Rust Belt cities that I absolutely love.
Is it the rust?
There we go.
Is it the rust that you like?
I mean, potentially, yeah. No, what it is I've tried to find the city. I don't know why. Oh, there we go. New Brunswick. Okay, it's perfect. What it is it's purely, for many of these cities that are my favorite, it's purely the aesthetics. There's not like, I know that some of these cities may not be, I watch videos on the city, so I know that they may not be the most ideal cities to live in. Because I've seen, you know, more intense videos on those cities, especially ones like around, you know, Cleveland, for example, Toledo, Ohio, Dayton, Ohio. Cincinnati seems pretty chill. I mean, every city nowadays has its bad spot as well, right? So it's, you know, the whole city might not be that bad.
For sure.
Yeah, it's the aesthetic for sure. There's just something about them that, like, it doesn't exist in Canadian cities. It doesn't. Like, I mean, the closest you could get is maybe the province of Quebec in regards to the rail infrastructure that you see in Rust Belt cities. So I bring up New Brunswick, New Jersey, because they have a massive, it's called the Raritan River Bridge. So they have a massive, and I believe it's four tracks cutting through the heart of their downtown. So unlike a highway, because they actually don't, they have highways along the riverfront. The highways aren't even that bad by American standards. They actually kind of match sort of more Canadian highways, but it's just things like that, like just the infrastructure of it, really, because I nerd out, like I'm the most unsmart train nerd, because I nerd out over trains, don't understand them at all. but yeah, it's definitely the aesthetics of it. They just have really cool, there's just cool things. I don't know, the Rust Belt just seems cool to me. And I also think that the second part to it, which is the history, which is where I really nerd out over, is history of cities, is they have a really cool history. And probably cool is not the right word, because, you know, if we get really into it, tons of people lost their jobs, lots of people lost their livelihood, they lost their house, they lost everything when these jobs started to decline. And that's showcased in the visual elements to this day of Rust Belt cities. If we take a look at Detroit, you can see it in their suburbs, right, where there's just empty lots, right? You'll have maybe one house on a block, everything else is empty, but when you're looking at it on Google Maps, they actually have them marked out in the actual plots that they were, because that's where houses used to stand. Buffalo as well, it's a similar thing in their suburbs, where there's just these empty blocks for days and days and days of houses that used to stand there, and you can still see the infrastructure. Like, a lot of these cities, they're sort of, They seem not like stuck in time, is that, because, you know, some of them are upgraded and they're modern, but they really are. They're older cities and they look older. You know, it's that history that really leads to the aesthetics that I love. So I love the aesthetics of it. I love seeing, like, you can go through these cities and actually see history as you're walking through it. And I guess for somebody that's spent his entire life growing up in British Columbia, it's not that old. British Columbia is not an old province. The cities in there are not that old, and there's just a lack of history. I don't know. Yeah, like, cities in BC are cool, and lots of people praise Vancouver as one of the most livable cities in North America, but it just doesn't, like, there's just no history. Everything's a sea of glass, everything's modern, everything's
new. Well, it has
a
history, but maybe it lacks character.
Yeah, exactly, the character, exactly.
So you like, well, the character, because character, at least in cities anyway, is like it's a little bit of a loaded word, because it encompasses both good and bad aspects of a city. And sometimes
it
encompasses aspects of a city that people are lauding while others are loathing. Right.
100%. Yeah.
But that I can see that as far as the Rust Belt goes.
Yeah, it's just being able to see that history, because in the city that I live in, they're not terrible, but they're far from the best. It's just a city that has a real lack of caring, or they just don't care about historical things in the city of Vancouver. And we've lost so many amazing historical icons or iconic buildings to that mentality of glass condos for days, copy paste, glass condos here, buy up any land that you can and convert it to more of these non-affordable glass condos. And the history is gone. Like, it's just, it's there, and there's still some stuff that's preserved. But when I look at these other cities and just sort of see, I mean, even Toronto, if we want to take like a modern, Canadian city that has a lot of modern elements like Vancouver, they also have some stuff that would definitely fit in the Rust Belt, so to say, that they preserved. And so it's just really, yeah, it's just cool. It's cool to see the history and learn the history of the Rust Belt and what happens when a main source of, of jobs, right? A main source of income for many people is stripped away from a city. What happens? And you can see the aftermath in these cities that are still to this day trying to recover from it. So,
It's
nerdy stuff.
It's one of those things where I think the view or the perspective of a place will be based off of your own perspective, which is a what's the word I'm looking for? It's basically it's molded from your own environment and your own upbringing and what you've been exposed to. And in some cases, that upbringing, backstory allows you to view other things from a different glass as opposed to the person that lived it.
Exactly. 100% it does. Yeah. And it's also just like learning. It's been very educational for me because I didn't know, I grew up in Canada, right? So we're not learning about the history of American cities, right? We're learning about the history of North America, right? With Canadian goggles on, right? And so I didn't know about any of this stuff. And then, it starts with looking at Detroit and being like, why are there so many, what happened here? Why are there so many vacant lots in Detroit suburbs, at least the suburbs close to downtown? What happened, what's going on here? What happened, right? And then you dive into it and you start learning about it. And it makes me, really appreciate the history of it, right? And really learn this is something that's happened here, and to be able to sort of and enlighten myself on what really happened in these cities, because while similar things did happen in regards to highway infrastructure in Canadian cities as well, it may not be as drastic as what you see in certain American cities with the freeways. So
Yeah, with those freeways that cut through areas of the city.
No, they tried in Vancouver, and then they got shut down by protesters, which was really cool. But they definitely tried. They tried to include the American mindset in Canadian cities.
I guess those protesters had more voting power than the ones here who, never really did. Which has always been sort of like a frustrating thing for me, because it's like when I look at stuff like the Rust Belt, it actually makes me sad, because I'm always I'm seeing like all of the stuff that was and could have been. And so, and like I was saying, it's a different perspective. I don't think that I think that both of them are important, because then you can kind of look back on things like Cleveland and Detroit and cities like that, Buffalo, and you sort of can get an understanding and a learning of so this is what happened, how do we prevent this in the future, kind of a thing. And then there's cities like Vancouver where, for people who are from those type of places or from that type of background, can look to a place like that and say, so that's how good it could be, because I've never had it that good. And mm-hmm. I think that's the reason why that people do that. And of course, it's all facade, right? Like, yeah. you know, it looks good from the outside, but maybe there's a lot of baggage that comes with that, you know, I don't know. But everything is about yeah. It's like everything is about perspective in that.
Yep.
In that thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess like don't get me wrong, it is super sad. Like I remember I tried building I don't know, maybe this it sounds kind of silly, but I did try building once because I just thought it was an interesting history. I tried building Detroit and I kind of, I sought that project. I just got like, this was way early on when I was just getting into Skylines and figuring out what I want to do and experimented with so many things. Mm-hmm. I kind of got bummed out learning the, like, what happened, you know what I mean? And just seeing like the pure, like, yeah, what's just sort of happened in the city. It's like, but it was awesome because I got to learn about this and now I can, you know, I'm more knowledgeable on it and, can really understand what happened.
And you know, if anything, that is a good thing, because if people do look back on it and they say mm-hmm. what happened here, and mm-hmm. no matter how they, you know, feel about the area, if they learn something, that's part of the, you know, moving on from it and saying, like, right. you know, we're not going to necessarily do that again, or at least we're going to try not to. That, you know, whether we do it again or not, time will tell. But yeah, no. Unfortunately, though, then you go on to the other side of like, yeah, we're not going to do that again. So let's make sure that we build everything to be 1,000%, you know, better with, you know, or at least perceivingly to be better. Apparently, things like Millennium Tower in San Francisco tells us that not always, but
yeah.
Let's see. But like, you know, moving forward and trying to build better and to do better,
yeah.
And then prices go up, and then people go, "Yeah, we built better and we did better, but now I can't afford it anymore." So then, where does that leave me? And it's almost like I genuinely am out here confused about where is everyone like me going, right? Because I can't afford to live in a new, brand new building almost anywhere.
Yep.
And I'm not the only one, right? That's like in my station of life, making the kind of money that I make, which is not bad, but it's not like super high, at least not where I am. And so, you know, I guess I would say the middle class or whatever you want to call it, that area of people, where are we going? We can't afford Vancouver and we don't want to live in Cleveland or we do,
I got a couch.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I can't even afford Vancouver. So
you keep bringing up this couch business. I'm telling you, one day someone's gonna show up at your doorstep. I'm telling you.
Viewer suggested question from none other than drumroll, anthropophagic 64. I think I nailed that. Hey, I said that pretty good.
You got it.
Okay. Good. It's a question from Anthro says, so actually before we do this, well actually I got mine pulled up, Jonah, if you may pull up Steam because we're gonna need Steam for this one.
Good lord, you want to like send the whole podcast into a chaos.
Also, fun fact, before we dive into Anthro's question here, Anthro also said last week, well, you say leading up to this week's recording, but Anthro's mentioned to me multiple times that he was not satisfied with our answers regarding his last question from last week. Like, obviously, joking around and memeing. I've also reached out to Anthro to be a guest on the podcast, potentially. Who knows? I've reached out so that we can dive into this and discuss it together, but... yeah, Anthro had asked our first question last week, and for those that may not have heard the episode or forget what the question was, Anthro had asked us last week, loving the episode so far, bring on the next one. love to hear you both discuss, and maybe this is a obvious topic, but CS2, what you both want slash need. So if you remember that from last week, we dove into that, and Anthro was not satisfied with our answers.
Listen, that question will never satisfy everyone, including sometimes the person asking it, so what can I say?
Yeah, well, into this week's question, let's see how this one goes. So Anthro says, so I'm no achievement hunter, but I am curious, on the global achievement list, highest percentage achievement you don't have, lowest percentage achievement you do have, and for those that may not know what the question referring to here, on Steam, and for those that have Cities Skylines on Steam, but also I do know that on console, I believe you can get achievements for this as well. It has been a while since I played this game on console, but if I recall correctly, there are achievements through there. So if you want to play along too, let us know what yours are as well too into this question for anybody, or for the people listening there as well, that want to send that in. Feel free to reach out to us, or hop in either of our Discords here, because we do have both me and Jonah have Urban Theories related channels. What is your highest percentage achievement you don't have and lowest percentage achievement you don't have? And for example, Anthro says, I don't have Greenest City, which 10.3% of people do, but I do have Varsity Sports Patron, which is 0.7% of people do have. Jonah, do you want to take it away? I've got Steam pulled up, so I can dive in as well and see what I have.
But how do I know?
So what
let
you
me
do
tell you
here?
Something. I don't even bother with achievements. So.
I'm gonna be real. Neither do I. Also, I realize that if you click on it.
It gives you all of them for every game, right? That's what you did.
No, mine's just for cities, but it doesn't tell me the percentage breakdown.
Maybe it's because I have so few, that's why it's showing me for all of them.
Yeah, it doesn't tell me. I probably should have looked at this before we recorded.
No, it's fine.
But, you know, it
there is also
me...
editing. Oh, wait a minute. Is this all? Oh, wait. Is this all cities? Because
I just
found
the Skylines user manual. Nice.
What did I? Yeah, City in Motion 2. That's what I was like, City in Motion 2, but then it's grayed out, so I don't know what that means. Oh, here we go. City in Motion have 20 transport lines. So is that, are they just naming it that tongue in cheek? Because they're probably just naming that this is actually all city stuff, isn't it? Okay.
So I can check by
the thing though, yeah. It only shows me what I've achieved.
It doesn't tell me the percent
or what I haven't achieved for that matter.
Oh, mine does show what I haven't achieved. Well, I guess I can shout out then. Well, that's a lot to shout out, but,
text.
They are ranked in colors. So. Yeah, it does show me what I haven't achieved, but it doesn't say the percentage. And I bet you're going to get comments or somebody's going to tell us how to do this.
The Jonah's then, achievements, personal achievements.
Oh, I found it. 60%, 60%. I found it. Okay. I found out how you get to it.
Where? Gaiji Senpai.
So on the City Skylines library page there, like you did before, clicking on View My Achievements. Right below your name, it should say view or like playtime past 2 weeks, view global achievement stats. Boom, there you go. And then that'll give you the percentage of people that have completed the ones you've completed.
And I saw that on the other screen. There's another way of getting there too. And I saw that and I clicked on mine because I was like, I don't need global, I need mine. But apparently, I need global.
What's highest percentage achievement you don't have, which I don't know how to see the ones that I don't have.
I am assuming that all of these we don't have because they're not 100%, right?
Oh, is that what it is then?
Because none of mine are 100%, unless if these are all the achievements that I haven't gotten ready.
These should be, total achievements, 116. Okay, so there's total achievement. The percentage there is percentage of players that have achieved it. Yes. Oh, no, I understand it now. I understand it. Okay. Do you notice on the right column? So this is percentage of all players that have achieved it. The percentage is the amount of players playing this game that have achieved that. Right. Note on the right column.
Uh-huh.
How some of them should be grayed out and not colored. So for me, right. I have certain ones are colored, certain ones are grayed out. Grayed out means you don't have it. Colored means you have it. The percentage.
Oh, so that's the question he's asking. He's asking what's the lowest percentage that you've achieved and the highest percentage of global.
Anthro, thank you for the hardest question we've ever had on the show.
Also
you know,
for the
new show, but
for the very well laid out way that it was, yeah, like explained. We really appreciate that.
Take it away, Jonah. Well,
Airline Tycoon is the lowest, and
the lowest
Pioneer is the highest.
What would my lowest be? Jonah, can you say those again with the percentage, please, of people that have achieved them?
Oh, Airline Tycoon. I've achieved it with. Okay, actually, hold on a second. Let's back that up a little bit. That actually may not be fair. So, Airline Tycoon, 0.8% of players have achieved it. The achievement is have an airport area reach level 3. Well, here's the thing. The only reason... that's a DLC achievement, and the only reason why that I achieved that in the first place is because I was using mods. And when the DLC came out for the airports, there was a bug... where even if you had mods, you were achieving achievements until they fixed it. But it looks like they didn't remove the achievement. They just let you have it. So, yeah, I've achieved an achievement that only 0.8% people have achieved, but that's because I had mods on and I wasn't supposed to in the first place.
I wonder if it's the same thing for me, because my lowest... that's my lowest as well. Airline Tycoon.
See?
0.8%.
So that's an airport DLC. I would probably say Tough City. Have the city survive a crime rate of over 40% for 2 years. No. Oh, I don't have that one. I don't have that one. Create a winter map in map editor. I created a winter map in map editor. I don't think I did.
0.9%, yeah, GG.
I mean, apparently I did, but I really don't remember that. and then the next one that is not an airport DLC one is 1001 Nights. Experience 1001 Nights in the game. 1.1% people have achieved that. So, yeah.
Oh, okay, so my top lowest ones are all airports DLC, like Airlifter, have 10,000 total passengers travel through an airport area, mm-hmm. and then airport. I don't know. I did play vanilla airports though when I did that co-stream event, so I don't know if some of these could have been achieved then. But
did you build an airport DLC airport?
Airports DLC? Yeah.
You did. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's possible that you've achieved those legitimately.
I would have played it without mods for, like, I think it was like 2 days or something. One on the event, and the next day while I was waiting for mods to fix.
It was with mods. He didn't achieve it legit.
Yeah, it probably was. build an airport area with a terminal, a runway, and an aircraft stand. Boop. That one was done without mods. There you go. 1.2%. And Jonah, your highest.
My highest. Well, Pioneer City. Create your very first city. But I think that would be everyone, wouldn't it?
Although, oh, wait. Yeah. That would be pretty much everybody. Well, it should be everybody, shouldn't it?
Well, my next highest is green energy. Produce all electricity
also,
without using
raw materials. Realized it just gets better.
Oh, what?
We did it wrong for what the question is.
Oh, God. What's the question? Wait, I'm sorry.
Highest percentage achievement you don't have. Lowest percentage achievement you do have. So we got part one right.
Oh, highest that you don't have.
Which would make more sense because everybody would have Pioneer create your first city.
Right. And I must say, I think it's wrong.
Okay.
Experience rain. I'm pretty sure I've experienced rain in the vanilla game many multiple times. I am like, I am pretty sure about that.
Incredible. All right. I do have that checked off. For me, it's power at your fingertips. Unlock all city services. That doesn't even make any sense. But I also do play modded, so I guess it does make sense. Because A, I don't play a city long enough to ever do that. B, I play modded. But also, I got Game Anarchy now, and it enables achievements again, so I can play modded and still get achievements. So what that's really telling me is that I'll never unlock this, because I'll never build a city long enough.
Game Anarchy does that. That's mm-hmm. I don't know if I like that, actually.
It enables, I think it can mess within the settings, but yeah, it was definitely after getting Game Anarchy, because then my Steam started to blow up with all these achievements, and Zerizi and Teddy were just memeing them. It was super funny.
That is hilarious. Was in there as well.
They're like, oh, look at you doing these things.
And I was gonna
I'm just playing the game.
Well, actually, I am still gonna get Game Anarchy, because I do want to try and reduce the amount of mods that I have. So we'll see what that does.
It's I've had it for it's Chameleon recommended it maybe a month ago. Zero issues with it so far. So
okay, good.
It's been
I'll have to try it.
Been a blast.
My top one was Singing in the Rain, Experience Rain, and then the next one was Experience Fog.
Well, I got Fog checked off too, yeah. I'm like, Fog, yeah.
Did I just not have Weather on when I ever play vanilla?
But do you, yeah, okay, so that's what I'm curious about too. It's like, I don't mess with that, the weather stuff that much, so I'm surprised that I have that
but
one.
But I had to have had it at least once. Like, at least once.
Do you use Fog controller mod? Because, like, does that count? Because that triggers Fog through the game.
Yeah, but that would be a mod, so it would disable achievements. I'm thinking about if I was playing vanilla.
Oh, right. So I wonder if I got foggy weather because of Game Anarchy, then. That's probably why.
Wait, apparently I've never built a key in vanilla mode? Okay, I don't know about all this. I think it's broken.
Didn't you just build a key literally yesterday?
Right, and I'm pretty sure I would have built one in vanilla mode. Apparently, I've never built a key. I've never built a canal. Have a look at all the different info view panels. Really? I've never done that. I probably would have been doing that more in vanilla. We must be doing this wrong still. Someone's going to be like, that's not how you look at it.
That's got to be it, though. Of course it is.
Have five fire stations. I've never had five fire stations in vanilla. Okay, heard. Even though I'm pretty sure there is more than five fire stations in the vanilla build that I started.
The way we're looking at it is correct. Like, when I look at at least for me, yours seems sussy. Even I think it's sussy. But when I look at mine that are grayed out, yeah, it makes sense.
Name a road. I could see that, because I think naming roads came way after I stopped playing vanilla.
I almost got this one.
And I probably never actually named a road in vanilla.
Yeah, there you go.
Have no polluting industry in your city. I can't build a vanilla city without polluting something. I don't know, man.
I have no... Yeah. Well, there you go. Now we know about it, Jonas. You've actually never built a key, so what the heck were you... What were you doing yesterday? Was that
check
a road, I guess?
A route of a citizen. I'm pretty sure I've done that in vanilla. Yeah, this is BS. I'm out of it. I'm done. I'm angry now. This has been the Urban Theories Podcast. If you'd like to get in touch with us, I'm on Twitter at @thechona_, and Moose is at @CanadianMoose_. We can also be found on twitch.tv, where we have links to all our socials on our about pages. That's twitch.tv/thejona and twitch.tv/acanadianmoose_. Thank you for listening.
Ah. Well, I've learned a lot about you today.
Oh, God.
A lot about you and cities, you know? That's great. Super interesting. Also, I imagine mods have something to do with that, so.
Now you're going to be like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore.
No, it's too much fun, so.
Jonah's scary.
So, Anthro, thank you for the question. thank you for the question. Hopefully that answered your question, and hopefully you leave absolutely satisfied after that question.
I mean, I don't understand how you wouldn't be otherwise. I just...